Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, in the house with Jared on News 104.5 WOKV.
Hello, Jacksonville. Welcome. That's right. In the house, your home improvement questions are answered. My name is Jared Malik. I own a business, Universal Roof and Contracting. I'm a licensed general contractor. I've been that for a number of years. In fact, I actually have four licenses. I'm a residential contractor, building contractor, general contractor, and roofing contractor. And I've been doing a home improvement radio show for about 17 or 18 years. Every weekend, come in and answer your home improvement questions. Throughout the week, my business, which is Universal Roof and Contracting, we have a tendency to focus on roofing, siding, and windows. From a day-to-day business perspective, that's what I mostly do. But when it comes to the questions that you can ask, really anything having to do with home improvement, I've done a lot of things over the years. I've built custom homes. I've had a remodeling division, kitchen, bath. So a lot of things, home improvement, I should be able to answer those questions. So if you have a leak somewhere that you're trying to find or trying to stop, maybe you're thinking about replacing some flooring and you want to know what's the difference between engineered wood and laminate. Or maybe you're thinking about, should I go over the top of that floor tile or should I remove it? Maybe you're thinking about doing a remodel or an addition and you want to know what pays off. Maybe you're thinking about closing in your back patio and you want to know, should I raise the floor or should I keep it the same height? Or is a building permit required for this? Really anything having to do with home improvement, we'll take those calls today, 340-1045, again, 340-1045. I do have some stuff on my talk agenda to get to today as well. Some projects that we're working on and just some stuff going on. You can also email a question. So let's say that you're shy or don't like the sound of your voice on the radio, or you just don't want to talk to me, but you still want your question answered. You can email me a question to questions@inthehouseshow.com or questions@universalroof.com. They both go to me, and I'll read that question live on the air and then answer it. So any type of home improvement question is perfectly okay with me today. So, we have been, obviously we, the last couple years, we've had a pretty fair amount of storm stuff happening. You know, we had Matthew and then we had Irma and then recently we had some additional hailstorms. And so it just, I don't know, I don't remember it being this much all in one time frame. But so if you have questions about any of those things having to do with your roof or the outside of your home, I can answer those questions as well. I know that we're still fielding a lot in our business, Universal Roof and Contracting, still helping people a lot with a storm-related putback stuff and those sort of things. So you can ask those questions, or if you just want an estimate, you can call my office, which is 495-0948. Again, 495-0948. All right, let's do an email question. This was actually an email question that I got last week. Didn't have a chance to get to it, and so I'll go ahead and read this email question and then answer it. This comes to us from James. So James says, I love listening to the show. Really appreciate you doing it. I am thinking about replacing the siding on my house. I currently have cedar siding, and it has rotting at the bottom edges and around the windows. What type of siding do you recommend? And do you recommend taking off the old siding before installing new? All right. Thanks, James, for that email question. I appreciate it. The type of siding that I recommend is Hardy board. It's made by James Hardy Corporation. It's a cement fiber siding. When it comes to wood siding, you know, cedar is great. It's more resistant to, you know, rot than some other types of wood is, but it is still wood. And if you have wood exposed to the elements in Florida, it will rot. So I personally like Hardy board. I think it's the best type of siding that is out. And then in regards to whether or not to go over the top or whether or not to remove it, most cedar you can't go over anyways. So if it's lap siding, you know, just, you know, it has a, you know, kind of a beveled piece, right? The one piece goes over the top and there's not a smooth surface. So there's really not an option to go over the top of most cedar siding. There is, T111, which is panel, where it's, you know, 4x8 or 4x12 sheets. Sometimes you can go over the top of T111. I typically don't recommend it. I like removing it and starting over. Obviously, that's more pricey because most of the time with T111 siding, there is not solid sheathing behind it. So what that means is that when we tear off the T111, instead of there being plywood behind it, it's just the, you know, the wood supports. And so in that case, you have to put solid sheathing first. You have to put, you know, half inch plywood down first, and then put this the Hardy siding over the top. So there can be some height change or depth change things with that. So, in general, I'm going to usually answer that it's going to be better to remove what is there so that way you're not marrying into old problems. With the cedar siding that you're talking about, chances are you're going to have to tear it off. With T111, I usually recommend that you do, because every single T111 removal that I have done, there's additional wood rot than what you can see to the naked eye. With T111, it's basically layers of wood that are then glued together, that are laminated together. And so sometimes what will happen is that you'll get water that gets in up above it, and many times it'll actually deteriorate some of the middle or inner layers, but the outer layer actually looks fine. So every project of where I've removed T111, there is additional rot than what you can see from the outside. There's rot in areas that you wouldn't necessarily expect it. Now, most of the time when the rot's going to happen, it's going to happen around what we call a termination point or penetration point. So what that means is it's going to happen at the bottom edge, because water splashes back up from the ground onto the siding. So it's going to happen down near the ground. The rot's going to happen around holes, around windows, around where vents come through it. That break in that material, that transition, is where a lot of times where the wood rot will happen. And so if you just plan on replacing those areas, you know, where the wood rot is, then, you know, that's better than, you know, not removing anything. But it is definitely better to remove what is there. The other thing is that a lot of times the old T111 is not fastened well. There may not be an underlayment system behind that. There's, you know, house wraps and things like that are required now. And so when you have T111 that has existing paint on it, and then you don't remove it, and then you put another vapor barrier on the outside, I saw a study that talked about the concern about having, a waterproofing paint, which is a vapor barrier, and then having a House Wrap, which is a vapor barrier, or one's a moisture barrier, the other is a vapor barrier. Having those next to each other could cause some moisture to get trapped between those two layers if you go over the top of painted T111. So just be aware of that. Be cautious. I would rather remove it. I think getting a quote both ways would be the best idea. And then that way you can see what the cost difference is, and then you can make an intelligent decision about which one it is that you're going to do, whether you're going to tear it off or whether you're going to go over the top. But James, with your question, I think that with the cedar, if it's cedar lap siding, there's not an option. You have to, you know, you have to remove it. Usually the cedar is going to be a different thickness than the T111, than the Hardy board is. But the good thing about Hardy board is that it is a fiber cement material, so it does have some wood fibers in it, but it is not wood. And it really is a great material, comes with a great warranty. They do have an option where you can get what's called a Color Plus version, and that's where the color is actually factory adhered. It's put on in the factory, so that is a you can control the environments there. It's still a paint, it's still a coating on the outside. It's not a coating that goes all the way through, but it is that factory applied coating is a good option. So many people will end up using the Color Plus version. You do want to make sure that you use a Hardy certified installer. Hardy has a installation process that's pretty specific, and so using a company that that gets it and understands how to install Hardy would be a good idea. So thanks, James, for that email question. If you want to email one, you can do that to questions@inthehouseshow.com. If you want to call now with your home improvement questions, numbers here is 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. You are listening to In the House on News 104.5 WOKV. Hey, welcome back. In the House, your home improvement questions are answered right here, right now. Just give us a call, 340-1045. Again, 340-1045, and we will answer those live. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jesse in St. John's. How are you today, Jesse?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Just enjoying my Saturday morning for sure. How can I help you this morning?
Hardwood floors, and I'm just trying to figure out if I need to, how difficult it's going to be to replace. I've got one of the boards that has about silver dollar size deep.
Yeah, his phone's cutting out. Let's go ahead and put him on hold here. So the question was, he has a tongue and groove wood floor, and I think he wanted to replace an individual piece in it. So we'll just go ahead and answer it that way. So the thing about tongue and groove is the principle behind that is basically each board connects to one another, and each board has a tongue on one side, meaning that it actually adheres further, and then it has a groove on the other side that tongue actually fits inside of. So each board interlocks to the next board all the way down. Now, if it's the very last board that gets damaged, which, by the way, it never is, right? It's never the last board. It's always the first, or it's in the middle. If it's the very last board, then theoretically you can pry it up and kind of twist it a little bit, and you can pull that the tongue out of the groove, and you're okay. But that's not the way it ever happens. Like, if it, it just never happens that way, where it's the last board that's going to get damaged. It's always going to be in the middle, or it's always going to be in a walkway. It's always going to be the most prevalent area of the floor, just because that's the way that it goes. At least that's the way it's always happened at my house, anyways. So then how do you get that piece out? So sometimes you can do it and sometimes you can't. The thing is that understand that piece will not come out unless you separate or you cut that tongue from going inside that groove. So usually what you would want to do is you would want to cut that piece out, the tongue part, where it actually fits into the groove. So depending on the type of flooring that it is, you would use, you know, like a skill saw or something that would actually allow you to cut through it. You want to make sure that you mark exactly where the seam is. And you want to be very cautious in how you're cutting so that way you're not cutting the ones next to it. You also want to tape off that area so that way you're not scratching it as you're cutting it. And then you basically want to cut that tongue out even with where the seam is of where the two boards come together. And then you would need to place a new board in. So what you have to do is you have to trim it usually a little bit so that it would fit inside that same opening. You usually want to use an adhesive if it's depending on whether it's to a slab or depending on whether or not it's on a wood subfloor would determine, you know, whether you nail it or whether you glue it. And then you know, cut the new piece to fit that exact size of the opening, and then you would fill it in with wood filler, in the section where you cut it out. So it can be done. There is an art to it. Depending on how good you are at this, I have flooring guys and finished carpenters who I've seen them do it, and it worked out fine, and you know they're great technicians and really good at doing finished work, and you can never notice. And then I know do-it-yourselfers who have tried it, and it's, you know, and it looks like there was a bad wood that had to, you know, that had to come out. So
yeah, and that was one of my, I didn't know if I could if it'd be better to, you know, put the putty in it, and they've got those markers where you can paint it, you know, the color of the wood. It's not right in the middle, but it is going to be in a, it's not, like you said, in the corner, but and like I said, it's about the size of a silver dollar, and I just didn't know if I should. I guess what I should maybe do is try to repair it with the putty thing first. Yeah. And if that doesn't work and look good, then like you said, try to cut it out and trim that tongue and groove and make it fit.
I would always start with a minor repair first and see how it looks. And then it very well could be a great place for a throw rug. You know, if it's a good place for a rug in that area to go over the top of it, then you'd never see it. But I would always try to do a minor repair first before I went straight to replacing the individual board. And that's what I would try first. So thanks, Jesse.
I really appreciate it. And I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate you. All right, if you want to take his line, he's no longer using it. Number's 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. You can call with your home improvement questions. And it doesn't matter the type of question, whether it's flooring, whether it's drywall, if it's roofing, siding, windows, really anything having to do with home improvement. Number's 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more home improvement talk. There is a line open for you. You can also email a question if you want. You can email that to questions@inthehouseshow.com. I'll read it and then answer it live on the air. All right. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Right now it's time for news and traffic. And then when we get back, more In the House. Be right back.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, In the House with Jared on News 104.5 WOKV.
Hey, welcome back. That's right, In the House. Your home improvement questions are answered. Thank you for taking a part of today's show. 340-1045 is the number to dial. All right, let's go straight to the phones. Let's talk to Marshall in downtown. Marshall, you're in the house. How can I help you? Marshall, you there? All right, let's put Marshall on hold, and let's go up to Bobby. Bobby, you are in the house. How can I help you?
Ah, Hello there.
Hey there.
I have grout in the corners of the walls in my shower, but it's starting to fall apart. So I'm wondering, do I chip all that out and re-grout, or should I chip it out and put caulk in?
How large of an area is it actually happening?
It's just a stand-up shower, but it's happening along all four corners of the walls.
Okay. So, I mean, the thing about grout is that, you know, grout is not a something that necessarily lasts forever, right? And so usually once one area of the grout starts to deteriorate and starts to crumble and come out, that's usually the beginning sign that it's going to start happening everywhere. Now, it happens usually in areas that are harder to get the grout into the space, like in the corners first, and it happens in areas that have the highest amount of moisture content that stay there for longer time periods. So we find that the edges and the corners, the grout starts to deteriorate first, and then it makes its way throughout the rest of the shower. So I personally, you can do it as a temporary measure to caulk it. So let's say you say, you know what, I've got to take, you know, I can't not shower. You know, so you go ahead and fill that area with caulk temporarily. I'm fine with that. But if you have the time to do it, I would go ahead and re-grout as opposed to just doing the caulking. So the caulking as a temporary measure is fine, but you're going to have to re-grout that pretty quickly, chances are anyways.
Oh, okay. Is there any certain kind of grout that's better than others?
Yeah, so you want to use, you know, when you go to the home improvement store, let them know what it's for, that it's for wall tile, and there's specific grouts that are designed to go in wet spaces with, you know, with tile. So it's usually a sanded grout. So a couple things with it is that you do also, the biggest mistake that people make when regrouting is not getting the old grout out well enough. And so you really want to grind and scrape that grout. You know, you want to get that old out as much as possible so that way you have a nice clean surface. And, you know, there's different grinding tools that are specifically designed to clean the joints. There's actually what's called a grout saw, and basically it, you know, kind of scrapes out that area so that way you have a nice clean surface. It usually, you know, it attaches to a Dremel tool, which is usually the easiest way to be able to do it, and has a little guide on it so that way you can actually, you know, clean out the grout that's there before applying the new grout. So I would definitely recommend doing that. And then when you do put the new grout in, you want to make sure that you follow the directions and that you really press, you know, you use what's called a grout float, which is basically like a little handheld, it has a handle on it, has like a foam kind of rubber flat piece, and you make sure that you really press that grout down into the joints. You want to make sure that you're pressing it in, not just floating it across, so that way that grout completely fills that void. The reason why the corners a lot of times fail faster is that it's harder to get it inside those corners. And if the grout has a void behind it, then it's more likely to deteriorate faster in that area.
Okay. All right, great. That answers my question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, man. Appreciate your call. If you want to take his line, it's 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. And you know, while you're regrouting, it's a good time to change the color of the grout if you want. Many people, you know, styles change, and regrouting is actually a way to kind of refresh that look, and make it look like it's remodeled without having to spend the cost of retiling. And so you may want to look at changing the grout color at the same time. You know, the you know, a white grout obviously in the shower is going to show mold easier than maybe some medium or darker tones, and so you may want to consider changing the grout color to that at the same time. And then the other mistake that I see people make when regrouting is you want to make sure that you clean the grout off of the tile as quickly as possible. So as you're using the grout float to actually, you know, press that grout in and then float it over the tile, you want to make sure that you're cleaning the excess grout off of the tile fairly quickly. Many times what people will do is they'll let that dry on there and harden, and then that creates, you know, kind of a film that goes over the top of the grout, over the top of the tile. And, you know, cleaning that as you go is a really good idea. You know, you just have a bucket there with a sponge and you just clean the grout off as quickly as possible from the actual tile so you don't allow that film to sit on there. And because that film can also, you know, if you don't clean it properly, it can, the water will sit in there, mold will grow easier, and you'll find that you'll have to clean your tile more often, and a tile will get dirtier faster if you leave that film, the grout film, on there. So making sure that you clean that off quickly is also a really good idea. So thank you for that question. We do appreciate it. Number here, 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. A moment ago, I tried to take a caller. He had a question that was that he had his roof done, and then once the after the roof was done, he noticed that there were cracks in the ceiling. And I'm not sure if he was asking me if that was going to be normal or asking how to repair the cracks. So I'm just going to answer both of those questions. It's an interesting topic, you know, so this is pretty common actually, when replacing a roof. Understand that, you know, the roofing material that is up there is thousands of pounds. And so you have to demolish, you have to remove the roof that is there. And then, you know, have the new roofing material that's delivered, which is thousands of pounds, and both of those are on there at the same time, many times, meaning that, you know, the roof is in place, you deliver the shingles there, those thousands of pounds are sitting on top of the thousands of pounds that the shingles are, and then you have to demolish, you have to remove all of that. Many times you have to re-nail, so you're pounding things, and so to get cracks in the ceiling of the inside of the home during the re-roof process is actually extremely common. In fact, I would say it's more common to get cracks than it is to not get cracks. Understand that the ceiling is attached to the bottom side of the truss that is attached to the top side. So most houses today are pre-engineered trusses. And so what happens is there's what's called a top cord to the truss, which is what the plywood is sitting on. And then there's the bottom cord, which is what the ceiling is attached to. And all of those are all interconnected. So what that means is if you're adjusting the top part, you know, tearing stuff off and moving the top part of that truss, the odds of the bottom part vibrating and moving, it's, you know, is extremely likely. So the odds of getting ceiling cracks when you replace your roof is, I mean, it's a very high percentage of the time that that's going to happen. Now, so how do you fix that? So how do you fix cracks in drywall and cracks in ceilings? So it's going to depend on the size of the crack. If it's just a minor hairline crack that's, you know, that's in the corner, then a lot of times just, you know, just caulking and, you know, filling that gap with caulking. And then the key with good caulking, what I have found, because what most people do is they use too much. What they do is they cut the opening, the tip of the caulking tube too far back, so it's too wide. So you want to make sure that if you're just doing a very thin crack, that you really just cut just the very tip off of that plastic part of the caulking tube, so that way you get a very thin line of caulking that actually comes out. And then you want to, what I always like to do is I like to have a cup or a bucket of water there and get my hand wet and then smooth over that caulking with that moisture. And what it does is that it really cleans the excess off and gets the caulking down into that groove. The biggest mistake that I see people make with caulking is they use too much. The second mistake is that they leave too much there. I would much rather you do it, add more than use too much in the beginning. So you got to clean that excess off if you do have too much on there, so that way you're not having a residue on either side of the actual crack. You're trying to fill the opening so that it's completely smooth. It doesn't have an indentation and it doesn't have any excess pushing out. And so if it's a small crack, you can just fill it with caulking. And many times you don't even have to paint it. If you use if it's a white ceiling and you use white caulking, then a lot of times you don't even have to paint it. Sometimes if the crack is larger, you'll want to use, a patching compound and a spackle knife to fill it and then smooth it out and sometimes even sand it and then repaint it. But those cracks are pretty common in roof replacement. So hopefully I answered that question properly for you. And if you have any other questions about that, just give us a call back. I know we lost you, but all right. So if you want to call with your home improvement questions, it's 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's the final segment of this week's show. So if you want to call this week, it's your last chance, 340-1045. You're listening to In the House. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back in the house. Your home improvement questions are answered right here, right now. Number 340-1045. Again, 340-1045. And Scott, we had a caller that didn't want to go on air.
That's right, Jared. Her name was Kathy. She had a deck in the backyard, about 15 by 20. And she was interested in repairing it and replacing it. Or not repairing it, replacing it, I should say. And she wanted to know if there was any good materials. The material she brought up was AZEK, A-Z-E-K. And she wanted to know if you were familiar with it.
Sure. Yep. Very familiar with AZEK. It is a PVC product is what it is. The thing is that AZEK is a good product. Most people, if they're going to replace their decks, are probably going to use Trex. Trex is a composite material that's extremely common. I like Trex. I think Trex does a good job. AZEK, we use a lot for exterior trim, in place of, as an alternative, maybe to Hardy, as well. And, but I like the principle and I like the idea of using something other than wood. The problem with wood is that it's going to deteriorate and rot. If it's outside, wood will rot, whether it's pressure treated or not. And so I like the idea of using some other sort of composite material, some other material other than wood. So AZEK is a fine material. There's going to be some size limitations with AZEK as well. So just look at that. But AZEK is basically a PVC material. So I would be fine with AZEK or Trex. I personally would use Trex. I like Trex a little bit better. Thank you for that question. We do appreciate it. Again, if you want to call 340-1045, 340-1045. I want to take a moment to tell you about Renewal by Anderson. If you're tired of those old drafty windows and doors, you go over and you can't open that window, it just doesn't open anymore, or it takes two or three people to actually get it open, you notice that your air conditioning and heating bills are really high, you literally could be throwing money out your windows. And so it's a good idea to replace those old windows with new windows by Renewal by Anderson. And they make windows out of a material called Fibrex. It is a composite material, and it's the only true composite on the market when it comes to windows and doors. And they really do have a great product at Renewal by Anderson. It's the only company that I would use in replacing windows and doors. The other great thing about them is that they own the process all the way through. So whether it is, the install, the actual material, it is Anderson. Anderson is over 100 years old, and they own the process all the way through. So it's not where you're going to buy the Anderson door and then some other company's going to install it. It's Renewal by Anderson all the way through. And so if you're thinking about replacing your windows and doors, I want you to call Renewal by Anderson. Their phone number, 222-8064. Again, 222-8064. You can also get more information at rbafla.com. And again, that's Renewal by Anderson, 222-8064. And they have a special for our In the House Show listeners, 20% off the entire order. But you have to say that you heard it on In the House. All right, let's go to Derek on the south side. Derek, how can I help you? We only have a couple minutes left, but how can I help you?
Be real quick, purchased a condo, has a contractor grade laminate flooring that cannot be refinished. It is glued down to a wood subfloor. So my question is, I've seen products for epoxy flooring. I can pour over top and then get an epoxy finish on top, and I just wanted to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm never a fan of going over the top. I've seen so many times where what ends up happening is you know, if what you're adhering it to isn't solid, then it causes problems with what's on top of it. And so I can tell you that the large majority of the time when somebody goes over something with something else, there ends up being a problem later on. And so I would always recommend that you remove the laminate before doing any type of new floor, whether it's the epoxy or whether you're doing some other type of flooring. I'm not a big fan of going over the top. So, but you can. So, but if you're going to, what you may want to do is just make sure that you know that the existing laminate is adhered well. Now, is it most laminates are floating? This one is not, right?
No, it's a solid glue down. My neighbor just had theirs tore up, and it was a nightmare.
It is.
So it's laminate glued to wood subfloor.
Yeah. So it is hard to get it up, but I don't know. I have such a hard time giving advice for people going over the top because I've just seen it go bad so many times because you're marrying into the problems that are there. If you are going over the top, I would recommend, you know, checking for any loose spots at all and then adding some additional fasteners, you know, screwing down in those areas just to make sure that it's adhered well. If you are going to go over the top, so I wouldn't go over the top if it's floating. Obviously, with the glue down, I'm more okay with it. But still, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of going over the top. But thanks for your question, Derek. All right, that music means we're out of time. Thank you so much for listening today. I do appreciate it. Show's called In the House. If you're thinking about replacing your roof, Universal Roofing Contracting, 495-0948. Renewal by Anderson, 222-8064. Thank you so much for listening. God bless. See ya!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.